الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إنه على رجعه لقادر. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. These are two names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Al-Qadir and Al-Muqtadir. And they're derived from the words Qudrat. Qudrat means power. Al-Qadir, the one who has absolute power. And Al-Muqtadir, the one who has complete power, omnipotent, capable of doing everything, and no one can stop. For example, in Quran, Allah mentions that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intends to do something, all he has to do is say, kun, be, fayakun, it becomes. These two names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are very important for us to understand in the world that we're living in today. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created this world according to his qudrat. And there are certain usul and principles that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has laid down for the running of this world. You can call them physical laws. In Arabic, we call them the sunnat of Allah, the adat of Allah, the way of Allah, the custom of Allah. And the entire physical universe is operating according to the adat of Allah, these laws that we have. However, and this is the key thing to remember, that whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can break the order, can break the laws. This is called the Qudrat of Allah. One is the Adat or the Sunnat of Allah, which is what we are familiar with. Your science and observation, Mushahida. But then there is also the Qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which we don't see. But the Qudrat of Allah is that whenever Allah wishes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can change the laws. I'll explain with you a few couple of examples. That let's say there is a factory, a person is running a factory, and there's a particular order sequence that they've laid down. Now, the owner of that factory has laid down that law. That law can be changed whenever the owner wants to. The next day, the owner comes, he says, I'm going to change the sequence, change the ordering. It's possible. So in the same way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has laid down the order, the sequence for running of this physical universe, which is the sunnat of Allah. And normally, the sunnat of Allah does not change. لَن تَجِدَ لِسُنَّةِ اللَّهِ تَبْدِيلًا. There is no tabdili normally in the sunnat of Allah. So for example, when there is fire, fire will burn you. That's the sunnat of Allah. Water, water will be soft. Ice, ice will be cold. These are the sunnat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes, Allah can change the law. Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam is being thrown inside the fire. Allah says, Kulna ya narukuni bardan wa salaman ala Ibrahim. And the fire cools down. This is the qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the point which differentiates a believer from an unbeliever. The mu'min, the way a mu'min leads his or her life, and an unbeliever, the way they lead their life, this is the main point of difference. That an unbeliever, a person doesn't have belief in Allah, they are operating in this life looking at the sunnat of Allah, looking at these physical laws. And they think nothing can happen contrary to these laws. But the mu'min, her gaze or his gaze is always on the being of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they know that whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can change everything. Allah can alter the laws. And this is very important for us to understand, that we need to appreciate that when a person joins their connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can take out khair from the appearance of shar. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can take out profit out of appearance of loss. Allah ta'ala can take out izzat from the appearance of zillat. This is what our iman is on the qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is all in the power and the qudrat of Allah, because all these things that we have apparently, they're like container. They're like bartan. Right? What these asbab, these worldly means that we make use of, these are all like bartan. They're all like containers. But whether the container contains something which is beneficial for us or detrimental for us, that is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? You have a glass. I can put milk inside that glass. I can put water inside that glass. I can put poison inside that glass. The glass is what we have in front of us. But whether that glass contains faida and benefit for us or loss for us, that is in the qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a very important usul and principle to remember. That whoever makes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala razi, whoever has iman on Allah, and then they join their relation, taluk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah ta'ala is that being who has qudrat, that Allah ta'ala can take out khair from the appearance of shar, and Allah ta'ala can take out izzat from the appearance of zillat. Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, he apparently was a ghulam, sold as a slave in a palace. From that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took out Badashahi. Allah ta'ala gave him all the jewels and the pearls, made him the finance minister, made him the king of that region. And the converse, the reverse can also happen. Okay, when a person goes away from the path of Allah, break the commands of Allah, turns away from Allah and begins to lead that kind of a life, then in apparent halat of izzat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can make a person embarrassed. Allah ta'ala can bring zillat to a person who's living in izzat. Qarun. Again, this is also in Quran. Qarun ko, he had so much izzat. He had so much izzat, he was the top businessman of his time. He used to say that utitahu ala ilmin indi. Okay, whatever. I have this ilm, I have this technology with me. This is my experience. I'm a businessman. I can do these good deals. I get this money. I get this wealth. This is my wealth. And فَخَرَجَ عَلَىٰ قَوْمِهِ فِي زِينَتِهِ. He used to go out in front of his people, the community, with a lot of adornment and protocol, with a lot of zaybut zinat, right? Coming out with a lot of protocol, and people used to be looking at Qarun. And in their heart, they would be wishing, Ya layta lana misla ma utiya Qarun. Oh, I wish I had the wealth like Qarun. I wish I had that izzat like Qarun. I wish I had that honor and reputation like Qarun. I wish I had that protocol like Qarun. And then what happened? When he turned away from Allah, in that izzat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him zillat. فَخَسَفَنَا بِهِ وَبِدَارِهِ الْأَرْضِ. And he was completely destroyed in such a way that he, along with all of his treasures, they just went under the ground. Just one instant, everything that was above the ground, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put everything under the ground. That was the end of Qarun. So if you reflect on this, I'll give another very simple example, that a person drinks milk. Milk normally is a source of protein, nutrition. You become healthy. You get quwwat. But on the other hand, another person drinks that same milk and there is food poisoning, and that person dies as a result of that. Both are drinking milk. In one case, you're getting nutrition. The other case, person dies. This is the qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All these things, milk is nothing in itself. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts faida inside that milk, or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts loss or nuksan in that milk. So if we can understand this one point, it will become very easy for us to understand how we are supposed to lead our life. Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, once he became sick, he went to Mount Tur. And he asked, Ya Allah, my tabiyat is not well. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him that go eat from that particular tree. Eat the leaves of that particular tree and you will be well. So he went there and he was cured. Then a few months passed by, again he had that same disease. This time again Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam went on his own to that tree and ate from the leaves of that tree, but nothing happened. So when he came back to Mount Tur, he made dua to Allah, Daro Allah, last time when I ate from that tree, you gave me shifa. Now I have that same sickness, I'm eating from that same tree and nothing is happening. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replied that, Oh my beloved Musa Kalimullah, that there is no shifa in the leaves of that tree. We put that shifa in the leaf. We are a shafi. We are the ones who put that shifa inside this. So we should always remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in the back. Allah is the musabbibul asbab. And I want to mention two principles inshallah today, and that is going to be the summary of today's session. And these are very important for us to understand. The first principle is that whatever is a sabab of sadness and parishani, that same thing becomes the sabab of happiness. If a person is doing amal on the hukum of Allah, if a person has a connection with Allah, they are trying to lead a life that is pleasing in the sight of Allah, then the outward asbab, the means, the situation, the events in our life which we think are a means of sadness and worry, they're a means of humiliation and embarrassment and zillat. If a person continues to have their taluq with Allah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will change those situations, change those asbab, and make them asbab of happiness, joy, itmanan, and tranquility for us. And I want to give a few proof, evidence of this from the Quran. First example is Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. He was placed inside the well. And the brothers, he brought the kurta of Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam and they put some fake blood on it. And then with crying, they came back home and they said to their father that, Sayyidina Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam, that there was a wolf and the wolf ate Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam. And look at his shirt is stained with blood. When Hazrat Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam, he saw the kurta, his heart was grieved. And he understood that something has happened to my son. But it's a long story. Later on, when the brothers, they accepted their mistake and this is when Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam is inside the palace. And the brothers, they accepted their mistake. And then Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam asked the brothers that, what about the father? Where is he? Where is my father? They said that, no, he has become blind. وَبْيَدَّتْ أَيْنَاهُ مِنَ الْحُزُنِ He cried in grief so much because of old age, he couldn't see now. He has lost his eyesight. And at that point, Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, if you think about this, right? Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam, our akal would say that he could have made dua, that, oh Allah, please grant my father eyesight. Please, allow him to recover his eyesight back. Or Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam could have given water, that, here, take this water, main dam kar deta hun, place this water in his eyes and he will get his eyesight back. No. Rather, what does Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam do in this moment? Allah mentions in Quran, He says, Izhabu bi qamisi. That here, take this qamis, take this kurta, and put this on the face of my father, and Allah Ta'ala will give him eyesight back. Now the scholars, they say that why did Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam, why this qamis? Why not simply make dua that, oh Allah, give my father eyesight, or give water and then ask, place this water in his eyes? Why this qamis? And the reason is because Hazrat Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam, the source of his grief and sadness was the qamis of Yusuf alayhi salam, that shirt that was stained with blood. So the source of joy and happiness will also be the qamis of Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam. Will also be the qamis of Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam. Yani that sabab, which was apparently a source of loss and sorrow and grief, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made that same source, same qamis, as a way of providing joy, happiness, and tranquility. Then, second example of this, understand the usul, that whatever is a sabab of sadness and worry, if a person has a connection with Allah and they abide by the commands of Allah, that same sadness sabab will become a sabab of happiness and joy. Next example in Quran is the mother of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends a revelation on the mother and tells her that put your son, baby Musa alayhi salam, inside the water. In fact, even before that, وَأَوْحَيْنَا إِلَىٰ أُمِّ مُوسَىٰ أَنْ أَرْضِعِي. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent an ilham on the mother of Musa alayhi salam that feed him. And then, if you fear about his life from the army of Fir'aun, then فَأَلَقِيهِ فِي الْيَمِّ. Then place him inside the water. Place him inside the water. Now imagine her heart is so anxious. Her heart is in grief. Right? That I have to place my son inside the water. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in fact mentions that when you will place him inside the water, then he will be taken over by someone. يَأْخُذُهُ عَدُوٌ لِي وَعَدُوٌ لَهُ. He will be picked up by a person who is my enemy, and he is going to be the enemy of Musa alayhi salam as well, yani Fir'aun. He's going to be picked up by Fir'aun. Yani look, the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is explaining, okay, we will save this kid, but at the same time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is also mentioning that he will be picked up by someone who is my enemy and the enemy of Musa alayhi salam. But then next to that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also gives a consolation and tasalli that la takhafi wa la tahzani. Don't be fearful, don't be afraid, and don't be sad, don't be anxious, right? Don't have huzun, don't be sorrow. Why? Because inna raduhu ilayk, we will return this child back to you, wa ja'iluhu min al mursaleen, and we will make him one of our messengers. She is a mother, and this pertains to her baby Musa alayhi salam. And the mothers, they would understand that how delicate the situation is. A mother, she doesn't want to give even a smallest pain to her son. And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's hukum is that place your son inside the water. Her akal would say to her that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes to save my son, then the fauji, the people of Fir'aun, the army of Fir'aun, let them not come to my house. That's the easiest way. That's the easiest way, let them not come here. Or allow me that I can take my son to some cave and no one will go inside that cave. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to show his qudrat. And Allah ta'ala wanted to break the mushahida, wanted to break these observations that we have. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that you have to place your son inside the water. Because the akal will be screaming at that time that, oh, Mother Musa alayhi salam, what are you doing? If you place your son inside the water, your son is gone. And if you're placing him inside a box, that box, how will be able to breathe inside that box? If you put a hole inside that box, then water will go inside, he will drown. Either way, he will drown one way or the other. Your son cannot be saved if you put him inside the water. But the mother of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, she had yaqeen on the qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. She was not looking at our akal. She was not looking at what apparently her eyes are telling us, what her akal is telling her. The observation, mushahida, she's not looking at that. She is looking at what is my Malik telling me? What is my Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hukum? What is the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And she understood that this is a trial. Allahu Akbar. She was tested with her own son and she fulfilled that test. So she placed Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam inside that water. And one can imagine, then she came back. She came back and she must be thinking that what will happen to my son? What happened was that on the other side, Fir'aun was out for a stroll with his wife. And as they reached the bank of the river, they saw that this parcel, this basket is flowing. So they pick up that basket and inside there is Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. When they open, they see Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, the face of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam. And Allah says in Quran, وَلَقَيْتُ عَلَيْكَ مَحَبَّةً مِنِّي. That, oh my beloved Musa, we put our tajalli of muhabbat on your face. So that's why there is a jazibiyat, a muhabbat, a loving. He was smiling at that time. And there was so much attraction and kashish on the face of baby Musa alayhi salam, that when the wife of Fir'aun, she said to her husband, Fir'aun, la taqtulu, don't kill him. Don't kill him. Asa an yanfa'ana aw natakhidahu walada. That perhaps we can take some benefit from him. We'll raise him up in our palace. We'll raise him up as our own son. He will never go against us. That Fir'aun was a tyrant, a dictator, responsible for killing thousands of babies of Bani Israel. This time, on the recommendation of his wife, he says that, okay, I won't kill this child. This is another lesson, right? The home government is very strong. The Fir'auns of their time used to listen to their wives. This is the home department. She said, La taqtuluhu. He said, fine. We will not kill him. So Fir'aun is also thinking that, okay, fine, we won't kill him. And we'll take him, adopt him as our own son. Then, when Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam comes back home, there was no feeder at that time, right? There's an issue that who will feed Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam? Who will feed Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam? So women used to come, they would feed their own milk. So he called a few women. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Quran, وَحَرَّمْنَا عَلَيْهِ الْمَرَاضِيَ مِنْ قَبْلِ. That we made haram the milk of every woman. And one woman used to come try to feed, but he won't accept the milk. And different women came and he would not accept the milk of anyone. And the entire night passed in this way. He was crying and Fir'aun was also getting now exhausted, terrified, right? He was also exhausted. He was also tired that what will happen, right? Khair, the night passed by and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran that the mother of Musa alayhi salam, she also passed the night in a very sad condition. She was grieved, she was worried, she was anxious that what will happen to my son. So she sent her daughter to the palace to check out what's happening inside the palace. Now when the daughter, she comes inside and she sees ajib tamasha. There's an ajib tamasha that people are trying to present milk and say that Musa alayhi salam is not accepting any milk. So at that time, the daughter, she thinks, and then she addresses the Fir'aun and says to him that, you know, I know of a woman. I know there is someone whose milk this baby will accept. Whose milk? Hal adullukum ala ahli baytin that should I not guide you to that person whose milk he will accept? Wahum lahu nasehun. And I'm telling you this because I am your khairkhwa. I'm telling you this in good spirits and goodwill, right? So when Fir'aun heard this statement, initially he was a bit struck. Said, why is she saying this? But then she was also clever, she was an intelligent. She said that, no, if we are not khairkhwa to you, then who else will be khairkhwa? Who else will think well about you if we don't think well about you? So Fir'aun said that, okay, bring that woman. So the daughter, she quickly came back home and said, mother, come with me. So the mother now comes to the palace and she presents her milk and says that Musa alayhi salam takes it. And now Fir'aun finally becomes relaxed. There is a sigh of relief inside the entire palace that the baby has finally accepted the milk of a woman. So now Fir'aun says that don't let this woman leave, right? So Khair, the mother, she stays there for 1 day, 2 day, 3 days. But then after that, she gives an ultimatum to Fir'aun. That, look, I'm going back to my place. Even though it's small, jhopadi hai, but apni, right? It's my place, so I'm just comfortable there. So Fir'aun said that, okay. Don't go back too quickly. I want you to make a pledge. Let's have a contract. And the contract is that I want you to take Sayyidina Musa al-Islam, this baby Musa al-Islam, with you back to your place, your dwelling place. And there I want you to feed him milk. And we will give your salary, we will send your salary to you in your house. We will send the salary to you in your own house. And about this, Allah Ta'ala says in Quran, فَرَدَدَنَاهُ إِلَىٰ أُمِّهِ. And we returned that baby back to his mother. Kaita karra ainuha, so that she can get coolness of her eyes from looking at her son. Wala tahzana, and so that her fear will go away. Wali ta'lama, and so that she knows. Anna wa'adallahi haqqun, that the wada of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is haqq. The promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is haqq. The promises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are true. Walakinna aktharahum la ya'lamun. But many people, they don't understand. So this is a true statement. The promises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are always true. When we please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah ta'ala will fix our halat, Allah will remove our worries, Allah will become our protector. And what is interesting about this story, when Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam is now, later on, when he is leading the army Bani Israel, and Fir'aun is behind him, there comes a time when Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam is fleeing away from Fir'aun, and Fir'aun and his army is behind, and then Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, he crosses the river, and now Fir'aun with his army is inside the river, and at that time Allah Ta'ala's hukum comes, and the waves, they collide, and the entire army of Fir'aun is drowned inside that water. Now here there is a question that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted, Allah ta'ala could have sent some other punishment on Fir'aun. There could be a storm from the sky, stones, rain. Allah ta'ala could have rained stone from the skies. There could be an earthquake, a fire. Why did Fir'aun perish in this particular way? He is drowned inside water. And the reason the ulama have written is because, remember, the water was the source of gham. The mother of Musa alayhi salam, she placed her son inside that water. So what is the cause of grief and anxiety and tension? Is water. And here, that water was the source of gham. Now that same water is becoming the sabab of happiness. That same water is becoming the source of joy and happiness. So this is the usul of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we can apply this in our lives as well. Right? If our spouse, they treat us badly, normally what happens, it leads to fights and disputes. Another way to go about this situation is to say that this is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is Al-Qadir. I will just do ruju ila Allah. I will turn to Allah. I will make dua, and our spouse, they're a source of test. after some time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will change their heart. That source, which was a sabab, which was a source of grief and anxiety, Allah will make that into a sabab of happiness, joy, and tranquility. This is a very practical principle that applies in so many areas of life, that whatever is a sabab of gham and parishani and sadness, if we attach ourselves to Allah, if we do ruju ilallah, turn to Allah, please Allah, we take this as a test from Allah and we say that Allah, you are the one that we turn to, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can change that sabab and make that same sabab into a source of happiness. Jiska chehra nahi dekhna chahte the, uska chehre ko dekh ke khushi hogi. That face which you want to, that you don't want to see, that face now will become so beloved to you. It will become a face that will give you itminan, happiness and joy. The real task is to make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala razi, is to make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala pleased. Once you please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will turn the sabab of hurt into happiness. So we have to remember this one principle. Then the second principle, the final one which I want to mention, is what we call sometimes in Urdu or Arabic as well, jaza min jinsil amal. Jaza min jinsil amal, that whatever a person does, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will treat them in a similar way. This is also the kudrat of Allah. Jaisi karni vaisi bharni. That whatever a person does, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will treat them in also a similar way. And again, we got a, this is a principle of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we get so many examples of this from the Quran and from hadith. Many examples. So for example, in Surah Baqarah, Allah Ta'ala mentions about the Bani Israel that the people of Bani Israel were made into monkeys. Their faces were disfigured. Now there are many past ummat who were punished. Some ummat, they received a punishment in the form of fire, some in the form of water, some in the form of wind, some in the form of stone from the sky. But in this case, these people, their faces were deformed. Why? The reason is because these people, the Bani Israel, they tried to change the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They tried to change the face of the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told them that you cannot catch fish on Saturday, Yom Sabbath. And that was their test. That on Saturday, the fishes used to be on the surface. It was very easy to catch them. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to test them that you cannot catch fish on Saturday. But what did they do? They did a hila, a strategy. They would make these small enclosures on Saturday and keep the fish captive on Saturday. And then the next day, Sunday, they would take the fish out from the water. So technically, they're taking the fish out on Sunday, but they're catching the fish on Saturday. So in this way, they did not obey the commandments of Allah. They tried to deform the commandments of Allah, change the commandments of Allah. And because they deformed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's command, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deformed their faces. You are doing masakh of my rules, I will do masakh of your faces. Jaza min jinsil amal. Then another example, in Quran Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions about tahajjud as-salah, that no one knows what we have kept as a coolness of the eyes for the people in Jannah. And this is Allah ta'ala discussing during tazkira of those who pray tahajjud as-salah, that those who pray tahajjud, Allah says that they will get so much reward in Akhirah that no one knows what type of coolness will be there for their eyes, for the people who pray tahajjud when they get into Jannat. Now a student might think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have said that what have I kept for them as a sweetness for their hearts in Jannat? What have I kept that will give them itminan in Jannat? What have I kept that could give them tranquility to their hearts? Why this phrase coolness of the eyes? Right? This is the word that Allah uses in the Quran, that coolness of the eyes for those who pray tahajjud when they enter into Jannah. Why this phrase? And the answer is that when these people used to rise up in the night and pray Tahajjud Salah, their eyes would thirst for that sleep. Their eyes would be thirsting to go back to sleep, but they would sacrifice their sleep for the sake of Allah. So because in dunya, their eyes would thirst for sleep, in akhirah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give them those bounties and blessings which will be the coolness of their eyes. As you sow, so shall you reap. Whatever a person does, Allah will treat them in a similar way. Third example is again from Bani Israel. The way their tawbah was accepted was a bit difficult way that their tawbah was accepted, that they had to come out and they had to cut their, they had to cut them with a knife. They had to spill their own blood. Allahu Akbar, right? Imagine such a difficult way for the acceptance of tawbah. Making tawbah was so difficult at that time that you had to physically show that I'm serious, and the way you show your seriousness is by cutting yourself with a knife and spilling your own blood. Blood should come out. That was the way their tawbah was accepted. That all of you, they would come out, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would say, this is mentioned in Surah Baqarah, that we will cover you with a cloud, then cut yourself with a knife, spill blood, and then we will realize that your tawbah is true. But if you compare this with the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the way our tawbah is accepted, there is no condition like that. All we need to do is just have remorse in our heart, and that tawbah is accepted. You can be sitting alone in seclusion and making tawbah in your heart, and that tawbah will be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So a student might ask this question, that what's the difference between these two ummat? What is the difference between the ummat, the Bani Israel, and the ummat of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam? The reason is that when Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam was giving dawah to his ummat, Bani Israel, so the people, they responded and said that, O Musa, we will believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only when we see Allah ta'ala clearly. We will only believe in Allah once we see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clearly. Now, because they had done mutalibah, right? Because they had made this conditional, لَن نُؤْمِنَ لَكَ حَتَّى نَرَ اللَّهَ جَهْرَةً. We will never believe in Allah unless we see Him. So because they had placed a condition, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, okay, you had placed a condition of watching, that you will believe only when you watch me. So when you make tawbah, I will also add a condition. Let me watch some blood coming out from you. Then I will accept your tawbah. So this is what happened to them. But for this ummat, the ummat of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, when the Prophet presented the deen of Islam to the Sahaba ikram, without any excuses, they accepted Islam. Without any conditions, they accepted Islam. And because this ummah accepted Iman without any evidence, without seeing Allah, simply the words of the Prophet ﷺ were enough for them to accept belief. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, I will also accept your tawbah without any dalil. I will accept your tawbah without any proof, without any evidence. You're making tawbah in your heart, I will accept that. I will accept the nadamat, the remorse that you have in your heart. Right? So as you sow, so shall you reap. Another example we find in the seerah of the Prophet ﷺ is about Abraha. Abraha was a king, and all of you know, right, that story, that the year the Prophet ﷺ was born. So Abraha, he was told that there is a center in Makkah Mukarramah, Baitullah Sharif, and people go there for pilgrimage, for Hajj. So Abraha decided that, I'm going to destroy this center and I will make my own center in my own city. It was from Yemen. So what he did was, he took some elephants with him and he tried to destroy Baitullah Sharif. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved Baitullah Sharif by sending a storm of birds. These birds, they came and they killed those elephants. Ababil. Ababil. Tarmihim bihijaratim min sijil. Faja'alahum ka'asfim ma'kul. Allah mentioned in Quran as well. Now here again a question comes. That when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala killed and destroyed all those elephants and the army of Abraha, why was this particular way chosen? Right? What's the significance of this choice? That the birds are coming and they're pelting the elephants with stones and people with stones. Why not some other way? There could be a disease, perhaps, a disease or earthquake or some virus, right? Why in this particular fashion the birds coming and killing the elephants? The ulama have given two answers. First is that the elephant is extremely strong, is extremely a strong creature. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that, okay, the weakest of the animals is a bird, right? I'll bring this weakest animal in competition with the strongest animal. And the strongest will be defeated by the weakest in order to show the qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That whenever Allah wishes, the normal halat, the normal order of things is that the strongest will defeat the weakest. But when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills, the qudrat of Allah is that sometimes the weakest can destroy the strongest. And then the second reply that the scholars give, which is even better, is that Abraha, he actually came to replace the tartib, the sequence, the order. Yani Baitullah is a place of honor. He wanted to destroy that place of honor and build a new center which he wanted to give his own honor. So since Abraha came to change the natural order, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that, okay, if you want to change the natural order, I will also change the natural order. Up till now, human beings are the hunters and birds are their prey and their target. Humans, they kill the birds, right? They shoot the birds. Today, I will change that tartib. The birds will become the hunters and the human beings will be their prey and target. Tarmihim bihijaratim min sijil. These birds will throw stones like pellets. And the human beings will become their prey, their target. So, whatever, this is jaza min jinsil amal. Whatever you do, the same will be done to you. So if we try to establish a taluk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if we try to establish a relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, please Allah, live a life that is according to the pleasure of Allah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will also do the same with us. Allah ta'ala hamesha nabhate hain. Ye pakki baat hai. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always will be with us. If you establish a relationship with Allah, Allah will also always honor that relationship. He will always honor that relationship. Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu ta'ala an, look at him. His color is black. His appearance is strange. He's from Habsha. And at the conquest of Makkah Mukarramah, the Prophet told him to break all the idols within Kaaba, Baitullah. And the people of Quraysh are seeing with their own eyes that Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu ta'ala an, he's climbing the walls of Baitullah Sharif. He's reaching the roof of Baitullah Sharif. There was one idol on top of Baitullah. So Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu ta'ala an, he climbed Baitullah and he broke that idol as well. And the people of Quraysh were so surprised to see him at the top of Baitullah Sharif. One of them asked that, oh Bilal, how did you get this rutbah? How did you get this honor that you are at the top of Baitullah Sharif? And one poet, he gave a reply in a poetic way that Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he replied that, no, I don't have any standing. My Rabb has given me this majesty. My Rabb has given me this honor. I am just that trash and garbage on the street. My Malik has made me climb this palace. Allah gives shan to a person. The Mufassirin have written that Bilal radiallahu ta'ala an was that Sahabi who would be laid down under the scorching sun on the desert sand, and boulders would be placed on his chest. And since boulder would be placed on his chest, and he was underneath the boulder, jaza min jinsil amal, today Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him an opportunity, Baitullah Sharif is under his feet. He was under the weight of those boulders, and he had his ahad, ahad, ahad. Today, Baitullah Sharif is under his feet. The stone is below him, and he is on top of that. So whatever you will do, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will do the same to you. What we need to understand from this name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that we need to have yaqeen on the qudrat of Allah. Absolute certainty, a conviction on this qudrat of Allah. And if we have this conviction with Allah, we have this connection with Allah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us izzat in this life, and will also give us izzat in akhirat. What we need to just keep in mind is we have to connect ourselves to Allah, love Allah, please Allah. If we make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala pleased, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take out happiness from the sources of grief and sadness. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us izzat and respect from the sources of humiliation and shame. So instead of fighting with each other or behind each other or picking issues with each other, our task is made very easy in our deen. We just have to do ruju ila Allah, just please Allah, just fix our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's what we have to learn from this name, that the promises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are always certain. The qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always there. Allahu Akbar, right? Whoever relies on the promises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's promises are always true. وَمَنْ أَصْدَقُ مِنَ اللَّهِ قِيلًا. Who is more truthful than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Who is more truthful? Allah's promises are always true. Remember the story of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam's mother? We returned faradadna. We returned baby Musa alayhi salam to his mother so that she knows أَنَّ وَعْدَ اللَّهِ حَقٌ, that the wa'da of Allah are haq. So we should develop a taluk with Allah. Our nazar should go away from asbab to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Your hearts should say that I have yaqeen that makhluk cannot do anything for me and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can do anything for me. Our heart should say that. That I have yaqeen that makhluk, creation, these creatures, they cannot do anything for me and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can do everything for me. And Allah Ta'ala can do everything for me without any means. And things and people cannot do anything without Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This yaqeen should become strong in our heart. This yaqeen has to be there inside of our heart. So many of us, we are leading lives of asbab. In this Ramadan, we should try to develop our yaqeen and become those who are leading lives of yaqeen. There are many who are leading lives of asbab, but very few who are leading lives of yaqeen. Very, very few. A life of yaqeen means that your gaze is fixed on the qudrat of Allah. You're asking Allah. Your yaqeen is strong. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that may Allah ta'ala grant us this yaqeen. This yaqeen one gets by putting in wealth, effort, time, energy on the path of deen. It doesn't come on its own. One has to work hard. One has to make sacrifices for the sake of Allah. One has to remember, think Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more and more. One has to spend time in the company of those who are strong in their yaqeen with Allah. People like Rabia Basriya rahmatullah alayh. She was a woman had so much yaqeen in the Zat of Allah. Hazrat Bayezid Bustami rahmatullah alayh, so much yaqeen in the Zat of Allah. Once he said that if the whole world is made into copper and one drop of water does not come from the sky, Right? Imagine the entire earth is now copper. There's no water on the earth, on the face of the earth. And no, not even one drop of water is coming from the sky. And the entire world is made my household. 7 billion people living, you're supposed to feed them. So he said that I still have no fear that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give rizq to the entire creation. I have no fear. I be yakin that Allah will give rizq to the entire creation, because giving rizq is the qudrat of Allah, is the power of Allah. So those who have yakin, this is how they are. Sahaba Ikram had yakin in the qudrat of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would give them rizq from mouse holes. One Sahabi, he went to relieve himself in the jungle, and as he's relieving himself, he sees that there is a mouse that comes and places 1 dirham in front of him, then goes back and places a second dirham, then goes back, places a third dirham, continues doing so, eventually places 16 dirham, any 16 gold coins instead in front of that Sahabi. And that Sahabi, they were very simple people, ordinary people. He picked up those 16 coins and came to the Prophet and mentioned the entire story. And the Prophet smiled and said that that is your rizq sent to you from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through that mouse. When you accept the commandments of Allah ta'ala, Allah will help us. Allah will help us. So mu'min has two states. If we love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will make you Imam-e-Alam, the leader of the entire world. But if we turn away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after these other loves, turning away from Allah, then if we love makhluk and leave Allah, then we will become Ghulam-e-Alam. We'll become the slave of this world. If we want to become the leaders, Imam-e-Alam, the leaders of this world, we have to love Allah, we have to obey Allah. We have to turn our gaze away from creation to Allah. We have to turn our gaze away from these means to Musabbibul Asbab, is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant all of us the ability to increase in our yaqeen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq to lead a life of yaqeen. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين سبحان ربي العلى الوهاب اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين يا الله يا رب كريم الله you are our kind and merciful رب يا رب كريم يا الله you are our خالق you are our مالك you are our رازق يا رب كريم ظلمنا أنفسنا الله we have wronged ourselves الله we have oppressed ourselves يا رب كريم يا الله we come to you tonight in توبة. Allah, we ask you that you shower us with your maghfirah, that you shower us with your rahmah. Ya Rabbi Kareem, accept our tawbah tonight. Ya Rabbi Kareem, we ask you to forgive us for all the sins that we have done, all the sins that we remember, all the sins that we have forgotten, all the sins that we did during the day, all the sins that we did during the night, all the sins that we did in public, and all the sins that we did in private. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, outwardly, Allah, we are your servants. But inwardly, Allah, there is so much filth. There is so much dirt inside of us. There's so much impurities inside of us. Allah, you know our real halat. Ya Rabbi Kareem, you are Muzakki Hakiki. Allah, you are the true purifier. Allah, we present our hearts to you tonight. Allah, we ask you that you, Allah, purify our hearts. Ya Rabbi Kareem, we are sick and tired of leading this life that is distant from you. Allah, we are sick and tired of leading such a life where we have no feelings for you. Allah, we are sick and tired of leading this life of ghafla. Those emotions that are empty of you, those feelings that are empty of you. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we look into our hearts and we see that our hearts have become hard, that become dark, that become black, that become impure. But Ya Allah, you are Muqallibul Qulub. You are the changer of hearts. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, remove the blackness of our hearts. Remove the darkness of hearts. Allah, grant us nur in our hearts. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah. Allah, these hearts have iman in you. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we ask that you accept the iman that we have in our hearts. Accept us, Ya Allah, for the renewal of iman, for the revival of iman. Ya Rabbi Kareem, accept us for the sweetness of iman, for the kamal, for the perfection of iman. Ya Rabbi Kareem, accept us for the halawat of iman. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we ask you, Allah, that you draw us close to you. Allah, we read in the Quran that you say, Fa inni qareeb, that you are qareeb to us. Allah, we also want to feel your nearness, your closeness. Ya Rabbi Kareem, draw us close to you. Ya Rabbi Kareem, draw us close to yourself. Ya Rabbi Kareem, accept us for this path of muhabba, this path of mahbubiya. Allah, enable us to follow in the footsteps of the Nabiyeen, the Siddiqeen, the Shuhada, the Saliheen. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we live in a time of fitna. Allah, our very iman is at stake. Our very iman is in danger. Ya Rabbi Kareem, there are so many philosophies outside the Muslim Ummah. There are so many philosophies from within the Muslim Ummah. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we're living in a very difficult time. Allah, that time about which the Prophet said that a person will be a believer in the morning, but then they will lose their iman when they go in the evening. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we're living in those times. Ya Rabbi Kareem, we ask that you protect our iman, that you safeguard our iman. Allah, we have seen in the dunya that when there is a child who has something very precious with him and he wants to save it and protect it, he gives this to his father and says that, oh my father, I'm not able to protect this. I'm asking you that you protect it on my behalf. Ya Rabbi Kareem, among all the ni'mat that you have given us, Allah, this ni'mat of iman is the most precious. Allah, this is the most beloved ni'mat that we have. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we ask you, Allah, we are not able to do hifazat of this ni'mat on our own. Nafs is with us. Shaitan is with us. Ya Rabbi Kareem, we place this ni'mat in you. Allah, we ask you that you protect this ni'mat. You do hifazat of this ni'mat. And when the time comes for us to leave this world, Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, grant us a death on iman. Enable us to leave this world in a state of iman. In a state that we are pleasing to you and you are pleasing to us. In a state that, Ya Allah, you are smiling upon us and we are smiling back at you. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم صلى الله تعالى على حبيبه خير خلقه محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.